The Spectator magazine is home to wonderful writing, insightful analysis, and unrivalled books and arts reviews. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, along with a free £20 John Lewis or Waitrose voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to this special Saturday edition of Coffee House Shots. I'm delighted to be joined today by the legendary pollster Sir John Curtis. Now, John, huge set of local elections up next week. Talk us through the top lines in terms of what we're likely to see.
It's not a huge set of local elections. It's a remarkably small set of local elections because we only have elections for 23 councils, most of them county councils, which are often more difficult to read, together with six mayoralties. What, of course, you mean is that there's a big set of elections in terms of Westminster's interest in what they are going to tell us, because, of course, these are elections that are occurring at the time when the opinion polls suggest that support for the UK Labour government has fallen away more rapidly than that for any newly elected government, and that Reform are the principal party to have risen since the last election, as a result of which Labour and Reform, roughly neck and neck in the opinion polls. Conservatives, who have shown so far no sign of recovery, if anything, in a slightly worse position than they were last July, but with the Greens still knocking even more loudly on the door than they have done in the past, and the Democrats also, if anything, in a slightly better position than they were last summer. So we're all just wondering what this is going to mean for the outcome of local elections, or to put it slightly differently, will the local elections confirm the message of the opinion polls that A, Reform are indeed a significant threat to the conventional British two-party system, and indeed, therefore, more broadly, do we get further affirmation of what was one of the lessons of last July, which is that perhaps we are moving from a two-party system to a multi-party system, whether or not these local elections also confirm that broader message. So they are big in terms of political significance, but we need to realise very straight away we're looking for big signs from small pieces of evidence.
Of course, we've got six mayoralties up for grabs. Who is most likely to win each of those?
On that, we do have, for what it's worth, a certain amount of opinion polling, which in a sense is both interesting, but also it illustrates what is going to be the wider problem with anticipating what happens in these elections. Mm. So YouGov have published estimates. Now, they're also just opinion polls. So the fact that they confirm that Reform appear to be doing well, and indeed probably doing as well in the four, well, the different areas as we might expect, given what the opinion polls are saying, well, but that's opinion polls confirming opinion polls. Still, for what it's worth, two things to take away from it. One is that if YouGov are right, Reform are on course to win both the Hull and East Yorkshire mayoralty, which is and the Greater Lincolnshire one. And of course, Lincolnshire itself is the most Eurosceptic county in the country. We know that Reform, unsurprisingly, are primarily getting support amongst those who would still vote in favour of Brexit. So the fact that they're heading for 40% in Lincolnshire perhaps isn't a great surprise. But just to illustrate the problem, Hull, Reform might win, according to YouGov, on 35%. Cambridgeshire, actually the Tories might win Cambridgeshire, but on 32%. And in the west of England, the Greens might get it, if YouGov say, on 27%. And this illustrates a broader problem, right? We are seemingly in an era of five-party politics, particularly in local elections, because certainly historically, both the Liberal Democrats and the Greens, who are the two parties that are further behind in the national opinion polls, tend to do better in local elections than they do in the contemporaneous opinion polls. So we're probably looking at five political parties that may be relatively equally strong in these local elections, with their vote all being factored through our single-member plurality electoral system. Look forward, probably, to lots of the councillors being elected on relatively low shares of the vote, point one. And two, it's one of the reasons why anticipating just how many seats are going to go in one direction or another, very, very difficult to call. Because What we have to remember here is that he who wins votes is not necessarily the party that wins seats. And, you know, this one of the stories of the 2024 election was Reform took votes off the Conservatives and thereby helped Labour and the Liberal Democrats to win seats. Now, of course, what's different now is that it, with Reform at 25%, maybe it will also be Reform that pick up the seats. But, you know, it's all very nip and tuck, given the geographical character of Reform support. So again, which also, I think the other thing one has to say straight away, if you want to understand what these local elections mean, don't focus too much on the outcome in seats. This could prove to be very misleading. Beyond that, you know, there is one thing that we know. All the seats that are being contested this time were last contested in May 2021. The same day that Boris Johnson won the Hartlepool by-election from Labour, the Conservatives did very well in the local elections. Keir Starmer contemplated resignation. Most of these elections are also taking place. And again, one of the reasons why we're looking for big evidence from small, big stories from small evidence, most of these elections are taking place in prime Tory Shire English county. This is just a particular slice of England. It's not England in general, let alone telling us nothing about the rest of the UK. So therefore, as a result of these two things, you know, of the 1,600 seats, the Tories are defending nearly 1,000 of them. Well, look, we can, given the history, we can anticipate, yeah, the Conservatives will lose a lot of seats. Maybe 500, maybe even more. Nobody really knows. You'll notice nobody has put out any benchmarks this time. And that is an indication of the uncertainty. But we know the Tories are going to lose a lot. We can be pretty much guess that Reform are going to make significant gains. But whether it's 200, 300, 400, again, I think, frankly, nobody knows. That, in a sense, will be the interest of the Friday when most of the results are declared. But it does, therefore, remember that given that a lot of seats could be won by very narrow margins, you know, if the opinion polls are just overestimating Reform a little bit, maybe it's closer to 200. Maybe if they're underestimating them, I don't know, maybe it's closer to 400 or 500. And it won't take very, very much to make quite a difference potentially in terms of the outcome in terms of seats.
John, can you put this in a bit of context? Because it seems that, you know, we have the two-party system overall that's been sort of going downward for about 50, 60 years or so. You know, back in the 1960s, the two main parties were winning around sort of 90% of the vote. This time, Labour and the Conservatives are on around sort of 45, 47% combined. To what an extent is this a potential to be the sort of like 1920s, a century ago, where you had the Liberals and the Conservatives coming up against Labour and Labour replaced the Liberals as the main party of the sort of centre-left? Do you think we're living through a similar period to that now?
Well, that's certainly the question to which we're all seeking an answer, though unlike the 1920s at the moment, it seems there might be a prospect of us ending up not with a two-party system, but a multi-party system. Mm. Now, one thing we should be clear out straight away, and one of the reasons for thinking it isn't just the 1920s. The last general election was the first ever general election in which five political parties fought virtually everywhere. UKIP fought virtually everywhere in 2015, and so we had a four-party contest then. And the point is, therefore, we now know that the Greens pretty much are organized everywhere. The Liberal Democrats, how did they survive the what for them electorally was the disaster of the coalition? Well, at least they always had one man, one woman and a dog to keep the party going locally during the dark days. And there is that permanent organizational presence. The challenge that Reform set themselves in the wake of last July, when frankly they did have a lot of paper candidates, some of whom still did rather well, is to create a party organization. In a sense, Reform have already won these local elections because they are contesting virtually every seat. Now, arguably, the Labour government's decision to cancel some of the elections was, although Reform were very unhappy about some of the places where they hoped to do well no longer having elections, on the other hand, it meant that they could focus on a very small part of the country in order to be able to create their first steps towards creating a party organization. But we have never had, we've got, you know, even the Greens are fighting virtually three quarters of the seats, the Democrats 85%, Conservative and Labour virtually ever. So most people in most wards are going to find themselves with candidates from what at the moment are the five GBY parties that we have. And the point is that once parties create an organizational presence, they are more likely to survive the ups and downs of misfortune. Now, of course, a lot of speculation about whether or not at some point there'll be some pact, understanding, amalgamation, whatever, between Reform and the Conservatives. But, you know, that's certainly not going to happen at any point in the short term. So, yes, the question that we are faced with is, are we heading towards multi-party system? July raised the question. After two elections in 2017 and 2019, when it looked as though the two-party system, at least in England and Wales, had restored itself, we should remember it's long since been destroyed in Scotland. But you know, then 2024, Greens record, Reform record, Liberal Democrats gaining lots of seats, if not necessarily votes, lowest Conservative and Labour share combined since 1922. The point is that what's happened since the last election, with Greens going up, Reform definitely going up, has just further indicated that at least the potential that we are heading for a very different kind of politics in Britain. But at the moment, with it still being refracted through two-party system. And one has to say, I mean, one of the things that when I was giving some talks about this after the last election, I had one or two Labour MPs say, well, oh, of course, should remember here, Labour voted in favour of changing the electoral system in 2022. But I had some Labour MPs say, well, of course, the reason why we now need to keep first past the post is because it will help, it kept Reform out. Well, yeah, that works at 15%. Yeah. It doesn't work at 25%. Remember what happened in Scotland. The SNP struggled to get very much in the way of Westminster representation with their geographically evenly spread vote until 2015, when they got nearly 50% and they got virtually everything. And the point is that Reform, even at 25%, but with nobody else doing better than them, as we've seen from some of the attempts to estimate what might happen, Reform potentially get at least as many seats as the Conservatives and Labour, because that geographically evenly spread is no longer a disadvantage. And again, that's helps to understand why we just don't know how many seats they're going to get, because, you know, Reform basically are fighting virtually all of these wards for the first time. We can kind of make a bit of a guess that, for example, in Lincolnshire, again, the most, which also has a county council election as well as the mayoral election we've talked about, that, you know, we kind of anticipate they might do pretty well there because it's pretty Eurosceptic. Same is true of parts of Kent, maybe not so well in Oxfordshire, which is rather Remainy country, as is true of much of Cambridgeshire. But just how well they're going to manage to turn whatever vote they get into seats in the middle bits in between, places which are not particularly pro-Brexit, but equally not particularly pro-Remain. That's very, very difficult to call.
And you mentioned, of course, the importance of party organisation. Speaking to lots of Tory candidates the last election, who stood in basically no hope of seats across much of the north of England, you wonder about those sort of areas where traditionally have been Labour strongholds. They might have sort of flirted with Conservative or been red wall areas at the 2019 election, but then in 2024, Labour just took them back. And I wonder, you know, your assessment, John, of Reform's chances in those such seats. And of course, Runcorn we have next Friday. In terms of the narrative of these local elections, that result's expected around sort of 2 or 3 in the morning. And thereafter, we get the local councils, I think, throughout the rest of the day. But of course, if it is Reform winning their first female MP there, that potentially sets it up for a whole story, etc., and a narrative around Reform success. How likely is it that if they were successful there, they could then replicate that across much of the places, such as sort of Ed Miliband's seat, Yvette Cooper's seat, where Reform came second last
time?
I'm
going to be a pedant here at this point.
Sure.
Runcorn is not, strictly speaking, a red wall seat. I regard a red wall seat as somewhere where it's been continuously Labour all the way back to the 1930s. That is, I mean, now Runcorn is basically a new creation. It's partly ex-Tory territory, sure, but even Weaver Vale, which is the previously closest seat the Tories have held in the past, it's much more historically much more variegated than a classic red wall seat. But that said, Well, I think the first thing to say, if Reform do manage to win Runcorn, it will be significant, because remember that UKIP never succeeded at the height of their popularity before the 2015 election. They never succeeded in winning a by-election afresh. The only two by-elections they won were in Clacton and Rochester, where the Tory MP stood down, Douglas Carswell in Clacton, for example, and then managed to hang on to their seat in the by-election after they'd resigned and refought. So it would be the first time that a Eurosceptic party has won a by-election. And now, of course, one of the things that we kind of do say about by-elections, while they're difficult for governments, governments tend to lose ground perhaps more heavily than they would in a general election. What we don't know, however, is whether or not Reform can do in by-elections what the Liberal Democrats tend to do. So usually, you know, particularly if you've got a Conservative government, as we had in the, before 2024, you know, in some places, the Liberal Democrats would just all of a sudden get an ability to come from nowhere, like North Shropshire, and manage to win the by-election. And you know, they're clearly doing well in a way that they would never have done if there hadn't been a by-election in the constituency. We just don't know how much better Reform are going to be able to do in Runcorn than might be the case if there were a general election now. And then we've had a couple of exercises recently of these so-called MRP polls to estimate what would happen in individual constituencies if there were a general election now. One of them said that at the moment, Reform would be 6 points behind Labour. The other said Reform would be 4 points ahead of Labour. Now, I think certainly if those two polls were at all right, it looks as though Reform will be close. I certainly don't think it's an easy win for Reform, because at the end of the day, you know, they are starting off quite a considerable way behind the Labour Party. I mean, the Labour Party has a 30-point lead. And there's not that much of a Conservative vote to squeeze. And, you know, Reform are still in the national opinion polls finding it easier to pick up votes off the Tories than they are off Labour. But, you know, the converse of that, therefore, is again to emphasise, you know, how remarkable it would be if Reform were actually to win the seat. And I think you're certainly right. That will help to set up the narrative. And, of course, what's also true is that the mayoral contests, I think they're all of them being declared overnight. And if indeed YouGov are right, and at least a couple of them go to Reform, again, as it were, we will start on Friday morning with basically, I don't know, maybe Labour and Tory spokesmen will decide to give the Today programme a miss for once. I mean, who knows? But otherwise, we have to remember that actually most of the results are being declared on Friday afternoon. We've got one or two councils, but that's it. Counting overnight. But, you know, that in itself will be enough for Reform to grab the headlines, and it will represent a significant achievement. It will be evidence that perhaps indeed anywhere where Labour are defending a seat with Reform in second place is a by-election that Labour would be wise to try to avoid if at all possible.
And just the final question, how does Sir John Curtis is he planning to spend the election night? And how do you prepare? I mean, there's a famous clip from 1987 general election where Dable Dimmerby is caught snaffling a Mars bar to give him strength to get through the programme. I just wonder what your tips were to survive an election night.
Well, I mean, I have to say to you that I was looking forward to half a night's sleep on election night, because with so few contests being contested overnight, the BBC weren't going to run an overnight programme, so we'd have to get up at around 4 or 5 and make sure we knew what was happening by the morning for the handful of results that are happening. And then, of course, they put the by-election on. So now there is an overnight programme. So, I mean, the real difficulty actually is not overnight. It's by about 5 o'clock the following day. And because much of the action is on the Friday afternoon, you know, that's very difficult. And whereas in the case of a general election, it's all over by then. So actually, local elections are more demanding than general elections in terms of stamina. Otherwise, the truth is, well, I mean, the challenge of being able to ascertain and tell the political story correctly is always quite difficult. It's going to be particularly difficult this time. I won't bore you, but there are lots of technical reasons to do with ward boundary changes, to do with the difference between county electoral divisions and district wards. These are a very difficult set of elections to analyse. You have to go and have to do it a variety of different ways. But it's the challenge of being able to tell the story and trying to identify the story correctly. and sometimes maybe very, very gently twigging the tail of a slight sense of over-exaggeration in which parties are sometimes inclined to engage when talking about their election performance. It's the challenge of dealing with that at the end of the day. Yeah, ensures you have a sleepless night.
Well, thank you very much, John, for joining us today on Coffee Hour Shots.
You're welcome.